Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Skip Furrow, and today is June the 21st, and the name of this class is Christian Friendship, and welcome to Grace Bible Church. And I do that so that when people hear the recording, and welcome to some of you that are new to the class this morning. This is a study that we're doing, and as of now, the plan is for this class to go up through the middle of July. It's been extended maybe a couple of weeks, but our topic is the subject of biblical friendship, and we're basing most of this, at least foundationally, out of the book of Proverbs. And so if you missed out on the others, and certainly glad to have some new ones here this morning, these are being recorded, and you go back on the website and take a look at them. But I'm really glad to have each one of you here. Let's pray as we begin. Lord, we recognize at the very beginning, the outset of our time together, and just are really amazed by your words when you said, "I do not call you servants, I call you friends, for a servant does not know what his Lord is doing." And 1 Corinthians tells us we literally have the mind of Christ. May we be in step with the Spirit. May we please grant us the ability to know what it means to walk with you, and Lord, to be a good friend back to you. You have certainly been a good friend to us. That's an understatement. Help us to be a good friend back to you in our walk with you. And I pray that you will use our relationship and our walk with you in order to bring other people into a relationship where they too would know you as Savior, Lord, and then as friend. You are indeed the ultimate friend that sticks closer than a brother. And have you ever dealt with our adversity? Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for coming into our lives and dealing with the adversity of being lost and destined for hell and ruined. And yet you've come into our life, even when we didn't want you. You came into our life and you gave us the opportunity to trust you and have a best friend forever. Thank you for that. And thank you for the friendship that we enjoy in this church and in this room. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go, first of all, just take a look at review of where we've been so far. In the first class, we took a look at the fact that our relationships with one another is not an option to the heart of God. In John 17, we are told that the way that the world will know that the Father sent the Son is by the oneness that Christians have with each other. And then in John 13, that the way that people will know that we are God's child, that we belong to Him, is by the love that we have for one another. Jesus gives us the command, and it's based on Deuteronomy chapter 6, to love the Lord with all your heart. But then Jesus says, all the law is fulfilled in loving the Lord with all your heart. But that also means that we love one another as well. Part of loving Him is loving each other. Then, so it's not an option. So it is, our relationship with each other is very important to the heart of God. Then last week, our objective was to see that friendship is to be proactive, intentional, and responsible when there's a need for restoration. That we're not to wait and just have it reactionary, but we are to be proactive and we are to be intentional. I even used the word last week, aggressive, probably not the best word, but it kind of gets your attention to aggressively attack when there is a need in a person's life or when there's a need for restoration. I'd remind you, Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, if you're worshiping and you are discover during that time that you have sinned against a brother, then you're to stop worshiping, leave your gift at the altar, go to your brother. Matthew 18, someone does something to you, you are sinned against. You are to go to your brother, go to your sister, to be proactive, intentional, and responsible in those areas. Then number three, this morning, our big idea for this lesson this morning is going to be biblical friendship must be received as well as giving. Now, Proverbs 18:1, I'll just read that for you. And I'm going to have you all participating quite a bit this morning, so be ready for that. But Proverbs 18:1 says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire, he breaks out against all sound judgment. When we isolate ourselves for whatever reason, I got hurt, I tried, I was vulnerable, and I was gossiped about, or whatever happened, what happens is we can easily isolate ourselves. And I love what it says, we break out against all sound reason. We're not using good common sense. So biblical friendship must be received as well as given. Have you ever noticed at the pool of Bethesda, when Jesus is in Jerusalem, and is a lame man, and if I remember right, was it 30 some years that he had not walked, and Jesus said, do you want to get well? Now, you kind of think, duh, of course, but not necessarily. There's a lot of people that don't want to get well because then they won't have anything to talk about. And so in many ways, we can not be receiving a friendship. We can give, but not receive. Receiving friendship is dynamically important in our walk with God. So I got two examples for you. John Mark. What do you know about John Mark?
He was very passionate.
Very passionate, yes.
Had a falling out.
Yes. With who?
Paul.
Had a falling out with, and Paul had a falling out with John Mark. Right. However, in Acts chapter 15, in verse 36, we find that when Paul and Barnabas were going to go on a missionary journey, and Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with him. Now, what had happened was that falling out had happened, and we don't know. Now, that's a key point, and I'm going to get back to that, something Debbie and I have had so much fun talking about and fellowshipping in the Lord about, is we don't know what John did. And that's very significant. We really don't know what he did, but whatever it was, it got Paul mad. God uses imperfect people, and Paul was a very imperfect person. How many imperfect people do we have?
There we go.
So rejoice, rejoice. By the way, when you're listening to the recording, everybody in here raise their hands. All right. We have a bunch of imperfect people. Paul's very imperfect. He gets miffed. He gets angry. He gets ticked off at John Mark. Barnabas said, hey, we're taking John Mark with us, aren't we? And Paul says, absolutely not. Now, the Bible says there was nothing less than a great conflict between two buddies in the Lord, Paul and Barnabas. A friendship is broken. Now, the cool thing is God's sovereign, and he takes Paul, and now Silas is his new partner. But then Barnabas says, I don't care. I'm taking you anyway, Mark. And Barnabas is a friend to John Mark. And whatever it was that happened, Barnabas refuses to give up on him. He is a friend who comes in a time of adversity, and he refuses to give up on him. Now, does anybody remember the latter words of the Apostle Paul regarding John Mark? What's that? Useful. Right. Debbie?
What April said. He was in prison and he said, send him to me.
Yeah, send him to me. I think Paul learned his lesson. Key thing here. And my wife is the one who showed me this. We were just sitting there after our devotions one morning talking about this. We don't know what John Mark did. It's not recorded anywhere. Remember, faithful are the wounds of a friend, and the one who conceals a matter protects his friend. We've already looked at those verses. What would it be like today if we would say John Mark did such and such? We don't know. It wasn't talked about. Whatever it was he did, it was not recorded. Someone protected John Mark. By the way, who wrote what is in our Bible is the second gospel narrative of Jesus?
The first one that was written, the first gospel actually written, guys. Apologetic studies.
Yes, yes, right. Yeah, John Mark, the gospel of Mark. Now he's writing, we think, what Peter is telling him. But Mark is the one whose name is on there, John Mark, this one who was a coward, whatever it was he did, who got Paul all upset with him, is the one who God used to give us actually the first of the four Gospels. Many people think the source of Matthew and Luke. And and who is in your Bible is the second one. The second one I want to give to you, which I think is great. I just love this. I just have always thought this was such a beautiful story. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 24. Now, this is an example of friendship. An example of friendship. Now, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him speak, they went and told everyone in the other churches around them how doctrinally incorrect Apollos was, and rumors were begun all over the Christian community of what a terrible guy Apollos was. Did I read it correctly? No. Let me read it correctly. Notice the friendship of Aquila and Priscilla. A couple, okay, a husband and wife couple, a team, all right? He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, their brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those whose grace had believed, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that he was, that the Christ was Jesus. Notice Aquila and Priscilla restored, instructed, took him aside, not publicly, but took him aside and said, let us be your friend. Aquila and Priscilla are mentioned the last chapter of the book of Romans. As far as we know, they weren't preachers. They never pastored a church or anything like that we know of. They're just faithful, quiet servants of God that were good friends to those who were doing the public part of the ministry. A couple of quotes on friendship, just some thoughts. A true friend is someone who thinks you're a good egg even though he knows you're slightly cracked. And I just really like this one too, okay? There's nothing better than a friend unless it's a friend with chocolate. How many of y'all like that one? I like that one. All right, now what I'd like you to do, I've got several verses here from Proverbs, and for the sake of the recording, what I want to do is have us all read these out loud together. But I would like to ask you, as we read this, think of one word, like do a one-word description of that verse. What is one word that would sum up what this verse is saying? All right, so let's all read it together. Proverbs 27:6, everyone together. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Now, I'll repeat it back, but what one word comes to your mind when you see that verse? Faithful? Yes. Very good. Faithful.
I think kindness. I think it's kind.
Oh. The person is being kind. Yes, kindness, absolutely. I'm going to repeat that. Well, no, can you say it one more time?
I think kindness, I think it is kind to help someone, even if it's in the form of a rebuke.
Yes, it's kind to help someone, even if it's in the form of a rebuke. Much better than saying something just to say what you think that person wants to hear. Yes, good. I wrote down the word authenticity and honest. Yeah, anything else? All right, let's go to another verse. Let's read this one.
Focus there because of the
Excuse
way,
me?
The focus there because of the way Hebrew poetry works is not on the faithfulness or the profuseness. It's on the action. And it's talking about action that is faithful and actions that are not faithful, but the faithful. And what does Pastor say, right? Opposite of hate is indifference.
Indifference.
There's action.
There's action.
And it's a question of what is your action going to be?
Right. What is your action going to be? right? All right, let's read this one. Proverbs 17, 9 and 10. Now, just think of one word, like a one-word synopsis that you would use to describe this. Let's all read it together. By the way, the recording can hear you reading out loud on this, so that'll be great. Here we go. A rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. Give me a one-word description of that verse. Or two words.
Understanding a wise person.
Wise guy.
He's open to receiving. A fool thinks he has it all figured out.
That's what I was thinking of wisdom. That's what the word thinking.
Yes.
Incorrectable.
Incorrectable. Correctable. Good.
Right.
Correctable.
What came to my mind was the hard truth that will help you even though it's hard to hear.
Oh, very good. Very good. Very good.
Right, because even the 100 blows, the intent of the 100 blows on the fool is, as your wife said, is to correct them. Or was it her? I don't know which lady said it. The point is the correction.
A correctable spirit, a teachable spirit. Yes, August? Say that again. This is worth repeating. Okay, say it again.
You have to hit an idiot 101 times.
you have to hit an idiot 101 times. Wisdom according to August. Very good. That's good. Yes. I wrote down humility, a moldable, correctable spirit, teachable spirit. Right. Very good. Okay, now, just concentrate on the last two phrases. A fitly spoken word is like apples of gold in settings of silver, like a gold ring and an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. What comes to mind as you read that verse? What's a truth that this is conveying?
Value.
Value?
Sorry, go ahead. No, just timely. It's not just
yes.
What you're saying. It's when, how, and what spirit. It's word fitly spoken. It's not, the word might be correct, but if you're not saying it at the right time, with the right motive, and the right spirit, it's not going to be like an apple of gold in a setting.
Exactly. And I think the word that goes with apples of gold and setting silver, it's attractive. Yes.
Well, to a listening ear, what's said is so hugely valuable.
Yes.
Like a gold ring.
Yes.
Because they really cherish it. They live it out.
Do you remember Jesus' parable of the sower and the seed? The first seed went on the stony ground, or not the stony ground, the hard ground, the pathway, the byway. The path between the rows where everybody walks on to cultivate it. And the birds came, no effect whatsoever. If there's not a listening ear, the words are not going to do any good.
So I was going to say something along the lines of that. Even a rebuke is highly useful, but only if they're actually willing to hear it.
A rebuke is only useful if they are willing to hear it. Yes. Well said. Yes, Russ?
$1 million is not valuable at all to a guy in the middle of the desert dying of thirst. The word fitly spoken and the gold and the reprover are valued by the individual. And I thought about the woman.
You used the word value. Yes.
I thought about the woman who lost a pearl or something. And doesn't she tear up her whole entire house to find it? And it's like, here's someone who, it's a parable in the Gospels. I'm getting it wrong. But here's someone who reproved me. They are of great value.
So the listening ear values what is being said. Yes. I'm going to listen to what you're saying.
Choosing to not value it, they regard it as high value.
Right. where the one who is isolating himself is.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, very, very good. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Just the last phrase. What do we have to do to stick closer to a brother? We have to be there. We have to be there.
And be willing to do anything for them.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, giving and receiving friendship requires the skill of listening. Listening. Let's talk about listening, receiving. Now, we're on the receiving end of friendship right now. The receiving end of friendship. Listening. Proverbs 14:29. I'll get someone to read that, please. And I'll put a few more. Now, you're going to, I love these Proverbs in 18. And let's all turn to Proverbs 18. But would someone else, whoever you may be, read Proverbs 14. But we'll all turn to Proverbs 18. Since all in one chapter. Great. Proverbs 14:29. Now, listen to this verse, please. Very good.
He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly.
Right. Hasty to spirit. Slow to wrath, hasty to spirit. Many times the reason why we get angry, let's talk about Paul and John Mark. Let's talk about Paul and Barnabas. Now, God used all that, so we can't back it up. But maybe Paul could have listened a little bit better to what Barnabas... Well, Barnabas, I disagree with you, but tell me your thoughts about John Mark. Well, Paul, I think he's worth the investment. Sure, he messed up, but let's give him another chance. Let's move forward with him. I think I can restore this brother. Let's don't give, you know, a listening ear. Now, let's look at Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18 and verse 13. First of all, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame. Okay, Proverbs 18:15. An intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear, notice the ear, of the wise seeks knowledge. Proverbs 18:17, the one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him. And what we're talking about here is receiving friendship in the sense of listening. James 1:19, let's all read this out loud together. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Now, some Greek philosopher, and I should have written down who he was, said that God has given you two ears and one mouth, so use the ears. Listening is not being quiet while the other person talks. Waiting to see, have a chance for you to say what you want to say. So I found a couple of quotes on listening. By the way, I wanted to emphasize that. Y'all see that?
Yeah.
Aren't you? Okay. All right. The biggest communication problem is we do not listen to understand. We listen to reply. What do you think of that? I don't like that statement at all. I'm personally very mad at whoever said that. I'm glad he's anonymous. All right. Okay. Yeah. You're calculating what you're going to say as the person is talking. And now, listening means taking a second to consider what they are saying, not just hearing their words. I'm going to repeat that one. Listening means taking a second to consider what they're saying, why they're saying it, not just hearing their words. I think a great part of a close friendship is that to a close friend, you can say things that may not even be accurate, but at the time, it is what you're feeling. It is just, you know, the time of despair and hopelessness or discouragement. Now, I have a problem. I am a man, and I like to fix things. And something that I'm continually learning in marriage is that I'm not always supposed to be fixing it. And sometimes I'm just supposed to listen. You know, does any other guy in here have this problem? I got tools for this. I got a wrench that'll fix this. And I want to fix things, but sometimes my job is not to fix it, but just to listen. Not to say what needs to be said, but to listen to the heart. And maybe what I think needs to be said doesn't need to be said at all if I just will listen. The importance in a friendship of just having, being someone who receives in a sense of, I'm going to listen to what you say and I'm going to listen to your heart as well. Ladies, us men, we don't even know how to spell the word intuition. So many times, yes, you have to use words. But with us, we, you know, Max, that frustrated me. Okay, fine. You know, Max comes up to me and says, Skip, you need a haircut. Okay, I'll get one. I got one tomorrow. Okay, I got one planned for tomorrow, you know. All right, no big deal. We speak. It's done. The communication between male and female could be quite different. All right, so we've got to listen to the heart. I'm talking to myself. I have 8 fingers. I always have to count them. I have 8 fingers pointing back at me and 2 pointing at you. All right. Galatians 6:1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness, keeping watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Now, let's dig into this and kind of pull this apart a little bit. I had several thoughts I just wanted to share. Brothers, first of all, responsibility. Responsibility. The first word, brothers. We are responsible for our brothers and sisters in Christ. It is up to us to bear their burdens. That's the scripture that takes place right after Galatians chapter 6. To bear their burdens. To go to them in compassion. To go to the person that is in need. For Apollos, it was he needed further instruction. For other people, for instance, for Peter, when Paul was a good friend to him and was wounding him, but it was a blow that healed him, is that when Peter was afraid to be seen by his Jewish leadership, to be seen with the Gentile people that had come to know Christ, Paul, under no uncertain terms, just socked it to him. It was a wound, but it was done in love. I don't think it was done, you know, I don't know how Paul came across, but you kind of get the impression wasn't very nice all the time. But at least he went to him. He went to him. Brothers, we have a responsibility. If anyone is caught, there is a concept here of an unexpected thing that takes place. The unexpected can take place in a person's life. And the word caught is, it literally means to take before, to be taken off guard. It's a combination of 2 words. One is to take, and the other is to take before. It has a prefix before. To be caught off guard, to be overwhelmed, perhaps with a sinful temptation, perhaps with a set of circumstances that just totally overwhelm the person, that literally throws them into a very sinful or compromising position. The word is passive. They don't do this to themselves. It's done to them, and it's in the aorist tense, which is like a sudden action. Not only the aorist tense, if you've heard of that in the Greek, it doesn't just have the time. Many times it has the type of action that's associated with it. It has with it not just, it doesn't necessarily always, although it pretty much is that way, it doesn't always have to happen in the past, but, oh, this is your left, I'll go to your left. It doesn't have to happen in the past, but it emphasizes along with it the type of action, that it's just a sudden attack, it's a sudden onslaught, it is an unexpected, unprepared for temptation that takes place to this individual, and they are caught. Now, I don't mean to imply by this that if a person sins, they're not responsible for what they did. But this is a brother or sister who we observe because of whatever may have happened, a trial, a temptation, an overcoming, that they are just blown away and they're caught in an iniquity. They're caught in a transgression. Russ?
Very quickly, word nerd stuff. This is a Greek conditional clause.
Yeah.
In Greek, they don't say, if, is it going to happen? This is a particular conditional clause. When it says if, we could say if, and we expect that this will happen.
Right.
And that made me think, are we actually looking out for this? If the Word of God says, expect that this is probably going to happen, am I looking for people who are overtaken?
Right.
If I'm not looking, I can't restore them.
Exactly. Beyond, be concerned. It goes back to responsibility. Brothers. Right. Caught off guard. Restore. Now, this is imperative or command. We use the word imperative in place of command. And it is present tense. Constantly restore. It is not just a one-time deal. This person is going to need help. This person is going to need a hand. I took Teddy trout fishing for the first time. And when you trout fish in a river, you get in the river. And it was a blast. It was so much fun. And our little 7.5-year-old got in the river with me, and I had on my water shoes. Normally, when I trout fish, I wade with waders with my fly rod, but I just took him out with a little, little casting rod. And he took his shoes off, and he was Huck Finn for the day. He didn't wear shoes the entire day. That little guy walked over gravel, rocks, everything. And he was in the Ararat River all day up to his waist. It was adorable. But as we walked, he said, "Hand, please, Granddad." Better than catching fish was reaching down and having his hand in my hand as we waded together in what to him was waist-deep water. "I need your hand, Granddad." All right. And then later on, "I need your hand again." "Well, didn't you do it? I did it once." "No, whatever you need, pal, I'm here for you." It's a constant restoration, present tense, and it is an imperative. It is a command. Put back, and the word literally means to put back into its intended design. It's used of the disciples when they were mending their fishing nets. The nets had torn. You got to fix the net. Go back and mend the person. Take responsibility for them. With gentleness, humility, genuine concern. Who was it used the word genuine when we were looking at those verses in Proverbs? The word genuine. A compassionate spirit. Colossians chapter 4 talks about let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. And then caution. The unexpected or the expected, the conditional thing can happen to you. Be aware of it. Do it with a sense of humility. David Jeremiah says this about this verse. Although we are not to search for sin in the lives of fellow believers, we are to acknowledge it with humility when it becomes evident and reach out in love. Paul tells us to go to our brother and sister. Now, interestingly, Martin Luther is the one who said, "Do not aggravate his grief, do not scold him, do not condemn him, but lift him up and gently restore his faith, comfort him with the gospel." Isn't that beautiful? Comfort him with the gospel. Go to him. And I think the sense that we have here is go to him with gentleness, knowing this guy messed up, this woman messed up, but for the grace of God, there go you. Do it with a sense of responsibility and caution. You can't help a person if you get out of the well if you get in the well with them. You got to stay out of the well. But you can sure send that rope down and say, "Please grab it. I'm up here for you." What on earth does this have to do with anything? Max knows. All right. What you're looking at is cows drinking. Cows drinking. And when the rains come, and in West Virginia, I saw this a lot in the agricultural community I lived in. You have the farm ponds, and the cows find the water, and they'll go drink. But boy, it's a mess. Well, as the arid air comes in, the ponds recede. But it leaves back what's called a bog. And the bog is very, very deep, thick, dense mud that the cow can get stuck in, sometimes even all the way up to its belly or up to its neck. The cowboy bog rider, his job is to keep his eye in the sky and to look for the buzzards, because the buzzards are the bird of death, and the buzzards will start circling the cow that's stuck in the mud and that is dying, and that cow cannot get out. He cannot help himself. The more he tries, the deeper in the mud he gets. The bog rider with his horse, and they're a team, and they ride out, and they find the unfortunate cow. And then the cowboy will take his rope and tie it around the horn of the Western saddle, and he himself will walk out and get as deep in that mud as he has to get, and tie that rope around the horns of that unfortunate cow. And then the horse and the cowboy as a team restore and get the cow out of the mud. In Psalm 40, it talks about our Jesus has delivered us from the bog. In an English, in ESV, the actual word bog is used in Psalm 40. And when that cowboy comes back to the mess hall later, he's made fun of. He's shamed because he's got mud from shoulders down. He's mud all over the place.
I'm sorry, Skip, but, what verse is that?
Psalm 40.
Okay, 40.
It's in 40. Yeah, it's in Psalm 40, yeah. Right.
Thank you.
Sure. Our Savior bore our shame upon the cross. And like our Savior, we're to go after our brother and our sister. When that cowboy goes out there, he doesn't say, "I'm so mad at you, you stupid cow. What's the matter?" No, "I got to get you out of here, man. Come on, come on now. Come on, girl. Come on, try hard. You're with me." And that horse pulls, and the cowboy wrestles him out, and the cow is restored back to its purpose to be a steak on our table. I just thought I'd throw that part in.
Aww.
I know, sorry. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. We're out of time, but what does the word earnest bring up to your mind? Earnest counsel. His person is earnest. What a word. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A gentle tongue. Like Max, you said, I'll summarize what you said. You can say the right thing with the wrong attitude. We can speak truth, but it might be so that I feel better about what I've said.
Right.
You know, and instead of, I'm really caring. Sometimes the person doesn't need to hear the truth at that point. They just need some arms around them. They just need, if there's hope, let me give you hope. Gentleness, gently restore him with the gospel. Our Savior, Mark chapter 9. I've been here. Our Savior is dealing with a man whose son is demon possessed. And this is one discouraged, broken man. And he just doesn't know what to do. And he says to Jesus, "If you can, will you help my son?" And Jesus said, "If you believe, all things are possible." And the man makes an incredible statement. "I believe, help my unbelief." Now that, my friends, is one classic statement. It shows the heart of God. It shows the brokenness of man. And this poor man is saying, "I'm doing my best, but I need your help. I'm in the slough. I'm in the bog. I'm up to my neck. I believe you, Lord, but you got to help my unbelief. There's a part of me that just doesn't believe yet, but I need your help." The cool thing is, to me, that's good enough for Jesus. Amen? That's enough. I got you. Jesus says to the demon, "You come out of him and don't you return." Wouldn't you like to have been there for that? I only watched a little bit of The Chosen, but I did watch one episode where Jesus cast a demon out and John the Baptist goes, "Cool!" You know, like, yeah, all right, like, wouldn't you like to be, "Don't you dare come in him again." And man, the demon's running scared to death of Jesus. What a show he put on for that man, all right? But then the little boy is weak. And in Mark chapter 9, Jesus reaches out and takes him by his hand and pulls him up. the condescending love of God we see in God the Son. Proverbs 17, a friend loves at all time, and a brother is born for adversity. Receiving and listening. So we talked today about listening. We talked today about receiving friendship as well as giving friendship. And humility requires that we not only just give it, but we also receive it as well. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. What we've learned this morning, we pray for Pastor Rich as he shares with us from Luke, for all the singers. Thank you, Lord, for the time that we've had together in your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for letting me get a little bit passionate there at the end. Thank you.